Jesus, draw us nearer to you through the words in the Bible, through the words the Holy Spirit speaks in our ear, and through the words we share today. Amen. What sort of bread do you like the best? Mother's Pride, white sliced, toasted with real butter. Virtuous wholemeal with added seeds. Gluten-free cardboard, because that's all your poor tummy can cope with. Homemade sourdough from your own secret starter. Together we come today to be thankful for the earth's bounty, for the food and drink our farmers grow, our fishers fish, our lorry drivers transport, our pickers pick, our packers pack, and our shop workers store, display and sell to us. And to be thankful to our Creator, who made and sustains it all. We also come together to remember that the Old Testament prophets and the modern day Padley workers and Derby City missioners call on us to follow Jesus' teaching to share with our neighbour, to give food and medicine and shelter to the poor, to provide hospitality and welcome to strangers and lonely people everywhere. I hope between us at St. Augustine's, with our collection, we can give something to people struggling in our city. Let's turn to our readings this week. Our Old Testament reading says, "Give your first fruits to God." And this passage has often been used to press people to tithe and give first to the church. I'm aware at the moment that some people can't afford it. It has always spoken to me of a sort of if-then way of looking at God, that passage. If you do this, then I will do that. Yet if you look at the Abrahamic covenant, God's promises were all down to God's goodness and not conditional on what people did at all. You might remember that God sends rain and sunshine on the righteous and the unrighteous. And Jesus said, when he was lifted up, he would draw all people to him. God's love is not conditional at all. We don't have to sacrifice our children to this God, like Molech, in order to get good crops. And our offering to help the poor doesn't make God love us more or treat us better. God really is good to everyone all the time, even when we humans are not. And our gospel reading today is tricky and confusing and maybe off-putting. Sometimes Jesus spoke very directly. The passage seems to be saying, don't worry about food and drink at all. Trust in Jesus and you'll be laughing as you tuck into your Marmite crumpets. For Marmite haters, other crumpet toppings are available. So what are we to make of it? What on earth is Jesus on about when he says he is the bread of life? He offended a lot of people when he first said it. They interpreted his words as an invitation to cannibalism. They were disgusted. But Jesus was an emphatic speaker who often used imagery and exaggeration to make his speech more interesting and attention-grabbing. He himself did eat and drink. He even said, "What's for breakfast?" to his disciples when he appeared to them on the shore after his resurrection. When he says to people in today's gospel, "You have only come to me for a free meal," he is portraying eating and drinking as less important than his main idea. So what was his main point? What was he talking about when he said, "Whoever eats my bread," that is me, "will never be hungry. Whoever drinks my blood will never be thirsty." For me, he was saying that through his death and resurrection, he has removed us from our self-imposed exile and brought us back into the heart of the Trinity. We are that close to the source and sustenance of all life. The one who knows the true meaning of life and how to live it well. And we can taste and see that God is good if we alter our habits and preoccupations in order to pay attention and notice God's presence. For me, that's what "eat me" means. To notice that you are up close and personal. That you are included in that relationship and that way of life. To remember Jesus and stay close to him and his way for our life. It's a bit like when grannies say about their new grandchild, "Oh, they are so scrumptious, I could eat them up." What Jesus was saying was that the kingdom of God had drawn near in him, that people could join him, share his vision of a life well lived, of love and life shared with all. Nobody left out. And when they joined in, he would be with them, and together they would change the world. And he's still saying it to us today, as we see poverty around us, and the government announces tax cuts for people earning over £150,000. He is still saying it today, as dictators in the world overpower their peoples with the threat of imprisonment, torture or murder, and threaten neighbouring countries with pressing the button to launch world-ending nuclear bombs. And he's still saying it to us today, as many of us have mental health issues and apparently nowhere to turn for a happy future. We people sitting here are supposed to be different to people who don't know. And I'm not saying that to tell us off. We've been told about a different way. A way of living where we are sustained by the living bread of Jesus within us as we take him in. Even though times seem dark, the light is shining. His light is shining. What are you doing to be nourished by that bread? I want to take you back to the beginning of my sermon and your favourite bread. I want you to do something. Every time you have soup and bread for supper, or toasted bread for breakfast, or sandwiches at lunch, and every time you have communion bread, I want you to think of him. He is present in the crumbs, the very molecules of that bread that he made. He is in charge of the universe. As much as he made the world, he is sustaining it and redeeming it, even as we eat that bread. However much we humans have the propensity to mess it up. And every day we eat bread is one day nearer to a fully restored earth and a restored humanity where death and suffering will be no more. Pay attention. Jesus is making the world a better place, one crumb at a time.